Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5:30. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Mercosur trade deal is being sent to the European Court of Justice for review. Speaking in the Dáil this afternoon, the leader of Independent Ireland hit out at MEPs who voted against the move, including two from Midlands North West. The housing minister has declined to say how many new homes the government aims to deliver this year. From today, local authorities and the Land Development Agency can engage with a €1 billion infrastructure fund to unlock new developments. Meanwhile, the average house price in Donegal rose in the 12 months to November. And the family of a man whose son hid his body for a number of weeks after his death in Derry is said to be deeply distressed. The case appeared in Derry Crown Court yesterday. Later in the bulletin, Mark's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 1:15. But we begin with the Mercosur trade deal, which is being sent to the European Court of Justice for review. MEPs are concerned splitting the deal into two parts doesn't comply with an existing EU framework. The Irish Farmers Association says it's the right decision. Well, speaking in the Dáil this afternoon, Deputy Michael Collins, leader of Independent Ireland, hit out at MEPs who voted against the move, including two from Midlands North West, Maria Walsh and Luke Mingflanagan.
Maria Walsh, what happened to her today? Did she get stung in the finger? She voted against this legal challenge today. So we have Fine Gael all over the bloody place in this deal. So you have Regina Doherty, Sean Kelly backing the German leader today. Back in an Ursula deal against the Irish people. Good God, this is not good enough. Yeah. We have MEP Barry Andrews after doing the same, Fianna Fáil. Have you any control over them? Are they out of control in Europe? We have Ming Flanagan, who failed to turn up today to vote for the people, in spite of all his own social media nonsense he has every day of the week, telling us what he's doing for the people. He forgot to turn up today to vote for the Irish people. So these MEPs are becoming traitors.
Well, Mr. Collins later apologised and withdrew the use of the word traitor at the request of the Concorda of Rona Murphy. Well, MEP Maria Walsh told Highland Radio News this evening she wants MEPs to finally have their say on Mercosur and reject the deal outright. She said referring it to the ECJ delays that final decision by up to 2 years and just creates more uncertainty for Irish farmers. Meanwhile, Luke Mingflanagan spoke a short time ago to Donal Marie Doherty. He confirmed he was unable to travel as a result of medical advice following surgery, and he regrets that Deputy Collins made such a statement.
I'd actually made a statement in advance of it if Michael Collins had actually been awake and seen it, but I'm actually taking this call from bed now. Because I had a major operation to remove a cyst from my jaw on Saturday. I don't actually know whether the cyst is malignant or not yet. I'm waiting for the results back. And I have been advised, in fact told by my doctor, that I am not to travel. And I actually have to ask on Friday whether I can travel next week or not. I've been working on this for 11 years now. The vote that took place in the European Parliament took place today because of an initiative shown by the group that I'm a member of, the Left, which many others piggybacked on, and I'm delighted they did, because now we have succeeded. We have succeeded in getting the proposed Mercosur deal sent to the European Court of Justice to be adjudicated to see, is it in line with European law and in line with what we're meant to do here? So it's a pity Michael Collins missed that. Maybe he missed the fact that this vote took place because of MEPs like me, but I suppose he's finding out now. And I hope if Michael is sick in the future that no one stands up in a parliament and attacks him for being sick, because people do have a right to be sick.
And that was Luke Mingflanagan, as we say, speaking to Donal Marie Doherty a short time ago. The housing minister has declined to say how many new homes the government aims to deliver this year. From today, local authorities and the Land Development Agency can engage with a €1 billion infrastructure fund to unlock new housing developments. Minister James Brown says the scheme will support the construction of thousands of new homes, but he stopped short of confirming a target for 2026.
Just on relation to targets, we've stepped away from targets because my sense is targets were becoming almost like an end in itself, rather than what are we trying to achieve here. What's our mission? Our mission is to maximise the delivery of homes and focus more on the policies that we are doing. What I'm trying to do is maximise that delivery, and I believe that the changes we've made over the last 12 months, which have been very significant, will accelerate that home delivery, and we'll see that happening now. We've already seen some of that reflected in recent numbers. For example, in the third quarter of last year, We've seen planner permissions increase by approximately 27%, but for apartments, 51%.
The average house price in Donegal, meanwhile, increased in the 12 months to November. The F93 Aircode area of Lifford is ranked as the third lowest average house price in Ireland at 188,989. That was an annual increase of 6%. The Donegal Aircode area of F94 recorded a 4% increase, an average house price of 221,816, making it the 15th lowest in the country. The Letterkenny F92 area had the 19th lowest average house price in Ireland at 232,809. That's 2% higher than it was in November of 2024. The family of a man whose son hid his body for a number of weeks after his death in Derry is said to be deeply distressed. Yesterday, 56-year-old John Gareth O'Sullivan was sentenced to 3 years in prison at Derry Crown Court after pleading guilty to preventing the lawful burial of his elderly father, who died at the family home in July of 2024. The court heard that his father, Noel O'Sullivan, a retired orthodontist aged 86, died at the property, but his death wasn't reported to the authorities. Instead, Mr. O'Sullivan's body was wrapped in a duvet and a clear plastic tarpaulin sheet and placed between two refrigerators inside the house in the Coolmore Road area of Derry. Court reporter Eamon McDermott was in the court and he spoke on today's Greg Hughes Show.
The judge did make that point that the family was denied all that, and also on top of that caused no end of distress. It's wondering just exactly what had gone on as far as their father's final hours. He gave one description of the father. He says raving and telling him to get lost, and then he says he went to bed and came back the next morning and he found his father dead.
Yeah.
That's his version. But the family, I suppose, will always be asking themselves, is that the right version? Is that what happened? Or is there something else went on or what? It's quite distressing for the rest of the family. He's got two sisters, and I'm sure it's very distressing for them.
A lot of unanswered questions, and that is sometimes the most difficult part of a loss, and they have to endure that going forward.
Well, that's it. They're always going to be asking themselves what did happen, what exactly. They'll never know what exactly happened. I know, could their father have been saved if there had been medical intervention at the right time and all that sort of stuff? Someone's going to plague them probably forever.
And that was Eamon McDermott on The Greg Hughes Show today. The Society of St Vincent de Paul says requests for assistance hit a record high of almost 261,000 across the country last year. Food requests made up the largest number of applications, with over 112,000 received by SVP. That was an 8,500 increase from the previous year. Energy assistance requests also rose sharply, with over 33,200. November last year saw the highest number of requests for help with energy bills. Well, on today's Greg Hughes Show, SVP President in Donegal, Rosa Dlacken, said the situation in 2025 was very serious.
It's a very worrying time. And also, you might have seen in that the request for energy. We lost out on that in the last budget. They were a great help, the energy credits. We no longer have those, so people are falling into arrears. There's a huge rise in the number of people in arrears for their energy as well.
We need government intervention here. The St. Yes. Vincent de Paul do amazing work, but we have 330,000 people mm-hmm. in arrears
yeah.
in terms of electricity, primarily in our county, but gas as well. Mm-hmm. We don't know the extent of those on pay-as-you-go, how long they're going without mm-hmm. electricity,
exactly.
The struggles, because we don't have those figures as well.
No.
It's a very, very nasty picture in a country that promotes itself as so wealthy.
That's the point that we're making. This is a rising economy, there's high employment, and yet here we are with almost over 250,000 people seeking assistance. It shouldn't be so. And there's a doubling, actually, in the number of children living in poverty, gone up to 8%. That's huge. Mm. And these are children then who are coming to school hungry, cold, and they're not having, what they should have in a healthy childhood. It's very, as you say, we really need a serious government intervention and acknowledgement of that poverty that's out there.
And that was Rosa Dlacken of the St Vincent de Paul Society in Donegal. A Donegal man who suffered life-changing injuries in a home attack has marked the first anniversary by sharing his recovery journey. Charles Duher was left in a coma after he and his father were assaulted by masked men at their Lifford home a week ago, a year ago yesterday. He underwent major surgery at the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast, including the fitting of a protective plate to his skull. In an online post, he spoke of relearning basic skills like walking and talking and expressed gratitude to his medical team and also to family members. Members of Donegal County Council have received a letter from the Irish Road Haulage Association urging them to put forward a motion of no confidence in the Road Safety Authority. Similar letters have been sent to all local councils across the country. Kerry County Council has already this month backed a motion. 185 people died on Irish roads last year, and the IRHA is calling for a total re-evaluation of the role of the RSA. The president of the Road Haulage Association, Ger Hyland, believes unless there's a change, the driving test backlog and rising death toll on Irish roads will both continue.
When Minister Eamon Ryan was Transport Minister, we approached him about our concerns of the RSA, and he organised to get a report done by Indicon Consultants, which has come back to the government. The government rejected the report before last Christmas, stating that it was going to cost too much money. We don't feel in today's Ireland and the money that the government have in their government coffers that price should have any bearing on road safety.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to start your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 6:15. Good evening, Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Dono. Good evening. We'll start with motorsport. John Armstrong and Shane Byrne have set the 7th fastest time over today's shakedown ahead of this week's Rally Monte Carlo in the World Rally Championship. Brookless native Byrne, who is on the notes for Enniskillen's Armstrong, will be the first Donegal man to compete across a full 14-round season in the WRC. The pair are in their Ford Puma Rally 1 and set a time of 2 minutes 37.3 in today's shakedown. Derry's Josh McElhane and Owen Tracy were 6th fastest with a time of 2 minutes 36.8, while Japanese driver Katamoto Katsuta, who has Tyrone native Aaron Johnson on the notes, was quickest overall, coming home in a time of 2 minutes 31.8. Rally Monte Carlo gets underway with 3 stages taking place tomorrow evening. In Gaelic games, the ATU Donegal Hurlers are in action this evening. They play their ATU counterparts from Sligo in the Fergal Maher Cup at the Donegal GA Centre in Convoy, where there is an 8 o'clock throw-in. The footballers sealed their place in the knockout stages of the Trench Cup last night, beating Southwest College 420 to 212. Moving on to soccer, Liverpool boss Arne Slot has suggested Mo Salah will be in the team for tonight's Champions League tie against Marseille. The Egyptian forward hasn't started for his club since their defeat to PSV Eindhoven in the same competition back in November. Salah claimed he no longer had any relationship with his manager in an interview before going to the Africa Cup of Nations, but Slot says that is not how he sees it.
As normal as it's always been, there was only one exception, and that was the game against Inter where I didn't took him, but for all the games he was there, and in the last game he was at Liverpool before he went to the AFCON. He came in after 15-20 minutes and I think he had a very good performance in that game.
Among other games tonight, Chelsea could come up against their former centre-back David Luiz when his club Paphos come to Stamford Bridge, and Newcastle welcome PSV Eindhoven to St James's Park. Those games all kick off at 8 o'clock, while the early matches between Galatasaray and Atletico Madrid and Karabag and Frankfurt have just kicked off. Manchester City's players are reimbursing supporters who travelled to watch last night's shock 3-1 defeat against Bodo Glimt in the Champions League. 374 fans made the journey to Norway, with tickets costing £25. The captain's group of Bernardo Silva, Ruben Dias, Rodri and Erling Haaland say covering the cost is the least they can do, as their supporters mean everything to them. Republic of Ireland striker Michael Obafemi has joined Blackpool on loan until the end of the season. The 25-year-old spent the first half of the season at German club Bochum, where he featured only 3 times. In golf, Rory McIlroy has criticised Ryder Cup teammates John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton for so far refusing to pay their outstanding fines for leaving the DP World Tour to join LIV Golf. The situation could jeopardise the pair's selection for next year's clash with the USA at Adair Manor. McIlroy has questioned their loyalty to Team Europe.
We went really hard on the Americans last year about wanting paid to play the Ryder Cup. And we all sat up there and said that we would pay to play in Ryder Cups. There's 2 guys that can prove it.
In rugby, Ireland head coach Andy Farrell has named a 37-player selection for his Six Nations Championship. Munster second row Edwin Agdogbo and Ulster scrum half Nathan Doak are the two uncapped members of the squad badly impacted by injuries. The Leinster front row of Andrew Porter and Paddy McCarthy are both ruled out, as are Cormac Izichukwu, Robbie Henshaw, Jimmy O'Brien and Calvin Nash. Ireland begin their campaign with a massive Thursday night trip to defending champions France on the 5th of February. France head coach Fabien Galthié has left Damien Penault, Gael Ficou and former captain Gregory Aldrete out of his Six Nations squad. Scrum half and captain Antoine Dupont has been included. He hasn't played for his country since suffering a cruciate ligament injury against Ireland last March. And finally for now, in tennis, Aryna Sabalenka, Coco Gauff and men's top seed Carlos Alcaraz are all through to the third round of the Australian Open. Career Grand Slam chasing Alcaraz saw off Germany's Yannick Hansman in straight sets. Gauff continued her impressive start in Melbourne by seeing off Olga Danilovic, while Sabalenka eased a victory over qualifier Bijwa Schwen. Emma Raducanu is out, however, after losing in straight sets to Austria's Anastasia Potapova. That's all from the sports desk this evening. We're back during the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. Back to you, Donald.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. The government is facing continued pressure to restrict the use of AI tools. The Oireachtas Media Committee today heard from TV presenter Grainne Shoiga, who's opened up about having explicit deepfake images shared online while running for election. She says the unregulated use of this technology will be the abuse scandal of the 21st century if we don't act now. She was asked if she's disappointed the government still hasn't taken concrete action, given the attention the issue has received in recent weeks.
Of course I'm disappointed, because, as I said, this is one of the major challenges of our age. And I would liken, I suppose, the legal situation we're in now as the crime is in a Formula One car and we're chasing after it on a tricycle.
Donald Trump wants immediate negotiations to secure US ownership of Greenland. He told political and business leaders at the World Economic Forum the USA is the only country which could defend the territory. However, he insists he will not use force to take over the island. President Trump told delegates in Davos it's needed for security.
All we want from Denmark for national and international security and to keep our very energetic and dangerous potential enemies at bay is this land on which we're going to build the greatest golden dome ever built. We're building a golden dome that's going to, just by its very nature, going to be defending Canada.
Foreign Affairs Minister Helen McEntee says Donald Trump's threats fundamentally challenge transatlantic relations.
Our position is clear. The future of Greenland is a matter to be determined by Denmark and by the Greenlandic people in line with well-established democratic principles and international law. We've also been clear, along with our EU partners, in communicating our commitment to the international legal order. And I again have communicated that to my Danish colleague this morning.
The Dáil has been told there needs to be flexibility in the way the HSE structures home supports in Donegal. Deputy Charles Ward told TDs there are nearly 3,000 people receiving home support in the county and over 350 waiting to avail of home support. The shortage of home carers in the county, he said, needs to be addressed in innovative ways. Speaking in the second stage of an amendment to the 2025 Home Support Providers Bill, he said when he was a trained healthcare assistant, he was also looking after his own children and so turned down the offer of a full-time job from the HSC because there was no part-time option.
Somebody like myself who had four children would be willing to go and do that type of work, but there was an issue when a full-time contract wouldn't suit me because I was providing care for my children. But I had that 4 hours where I could have provided that into that community and definitely would have done it if it was provided. And what that does, it leaves it flexible for when your children grow up, you could go into that full time. And I think that's, if that was sorted out, that could be a real game changer, because there's a lot of parents that would be willing to go into that. And if paid properly, would make it their career. If you train somebody to do it properly, it takes 2 years to actually go in, do your modules, come out of it with a good standard, and then go into your work experience, and then you go out into the community. And you're doing that with a family. It is challenging and it's hard, but it can be done.
and a recent allocation of Greenway funding for a proposed route from Burton Port to Letterkenny has left a bad taste in the mouth of a local councillor. Councillor Micheál Cullen-McGlasbaig is questioning why just €20,000 was allocated to the project, the lowest amount awarded in the county. He's welcomed other funding allocations across Donegal, but says this particular project has been in development for many years and he's been campaigning for its completion since his election to council 12 years ago. Councillor McGlasbaig says he wants clarity on the reason for the slow progress.
We still aren't seeing any funding of any significance going to this project. Altacharan, we see that there's a huge amount of development happening on it and we welcome it, and thanks again to Cóiríochán Chun Dhuibh Éireann Ghaol and the wider community. But this project would be ideal then to run in to continue that project. We see a huge amount of footfall of tourism coming to the area, the local community getting up and getting at it and active. Anywhere at all that there are greenways and walks built, the community are utilising them massively, similar to what we have in Ranafarsta, Heather, Lashie. But unfortunately, there is some wee reason there that we're not developing.
Cloudy tonight with outbreaks of rain continuing, areas of mist and fog and lowest overnight temperatures 5 to 8 degrees Celsius, moderate to fresh easterly winds. Winds again tomorrow in a mostly cloudy day with mist and outbreaks of rain turning heavy at times. Top temperatures on Thursday 6 to 9 degrees Celsius. Main stories in brief this evening. The Mercosur trade deal is being sent to the European Court of Justice for review. The Housing Minister has declined to say how many new homes the government aims to deliver this year. And Donegal County Council is being urged to vote on a motion of no confidence in the Road Safety Authority. The call has come from the Irish Road Haulers Association. We're back with news again at 7 o'clock. In the interim, check all the day's news on highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, good evening.
The obituary notices this Wednesday evening, January 21st. The death has occurred of William Joseph Farn, late of Old Movilla Road, Newtownards. Family and friends are welcome at the family home tomorrow from 6 o'clock and on Friday until 1 o'clock. Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Newtownards on Saturday morning at 9:30. Burial afterwards at Movilla Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations may be sent if desired to Marie Curie and or the Oranelai Donaghadee branch, care of S. Clark and Son Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Nora McBride Golan Milford, reposing at her home until 10 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 10 a.m. until 10 p.m. Funeral Mass on Friday morning at 11 o'clock in St. Bridget's Church, Golan. Burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. Those attending the wake between the hours of 6 p.m. and 10 p.m. should park at Golan Chapel and a bus will be provided from there. The death has taken place in Cheltenham, England, of Audrey Stevens, ní Coyle, formerly of Cornegill and High Road, Letterkenny. Audrey will be reposing at the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountain Top, Letterkenny, tomorrow evening from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. Requiem Mass on Friday morning at 11 o'clock in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in Conwall Cemetery. Donations to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Sophie Harrison, ní Magrady, 154 Upper Mount Mary in Milford, reposing at her home today until 10 o'clock this evening. Requiem Mass tomorrow at 12 noon in St. Peter's Church, Milford. Burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. The Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Rose Gallagher, Sunmount Kilcluny, Portnew, reposing at her niece Anne Bowden's residence at Castle Goland, Portnew today until rosary at 9 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to St Connell's Church, Kilcluny for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.